Pretty part two. So I just got a few more things on this subject, and I mean, by no means has it quenched it at all. You know, there's lots more that can be said on this. But I just thank Johnny that he said I could speak tonight and I could just say a little bit more. So first of all, we need to make it clear that we are not the source of power, but God has granted to us as believers authority to use his power on the earth. I could stick a light bulb in my mouth and it wouldn't light up because I'm not the source of power. Those lights are really bright here, Johnny. Because I'm not the one that generates electricity. So no matter how many light bulbs I put in my mouth, there would be no light from those light bulbs because I'm not the source of power. But the light bulb, once it's connected to the source of power, then it lights up. With the flick of a switch, it lights up because it's connected to the source of power. I have authority to use the light switch. We can switch the lights on and we can switch the lights off. But I have to understand the laws that surround the use of electricity. I have to understand how to use electricity. I have got it wrong before, but I learned from that. The power company won't keep sending someone to my house every time I need the light switching on. When my house is in darkness, I have to switch it on. I can't phone up the electric company and say, do you know, I need some more power. Please send more power. They'd say, we've generated the power. The power is already there. You've already got it. Just switch the light on. And it's a little bit like that with God and his power. Christians keep crying out to God for more power. We need more power. But he has given to us everything that we need in this life. But we have to use his authority that he gave us to switch on the light. In Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said this, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Not just some, but all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Our authority as believers has been given to us by Jesus. And when he's speaking about serpents and scorpions, Jesus is talking about the power of the devil. We need to realize that we've got authority over the devil and his demons and everything, every rotten thing that he would chuck at us and that he would attack us with. Does the church of the Lord Jesus Christ have or need any less authority today than it had in the first century? Absolutely not. But we need to understand and value the value of our authority rests on the power that is behind that authority. It's no good having authority if you've got no power backing you up. But we have the power of God backing up the authority that he has given to us as believers. God himself is the power behind our authority. And that is why the devil and his forces are obliged to recognize the believer's authority. The believer who thoroughly understands that the power of God is back in him can exercise his God-given authority and face the enemy fearlessly. So what is authority? Authority is delegated power. That's the authority that God gives to us. God's original plan for perfect man was to rule in the earth, and he granted mankind authority, dominion, rule over the earth. In Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. God gave man, who was created in his image and after his likeness, authority to rule and carry out his will on the earth. Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. God said, don't eat from that tree. God's will is his word. We do understand that, don't we? His will is his word. What he says is what he wills. That's his will. But they ate, and he allowed it. But it wasn't his sovereign will. Something happened on the earth that wasn't his sovereign will. He allowed them to operate in their free will, and he still allows mankind to choose of their own free will who they will yield to and who they will serve. But what we choose is not always his will. God allows many things that are not his sovereign will. Some Christians say everything that happens to them must be God's will, or else it wouldn't happen. And that simply isn't true. The Lord's Prayer is an example. If God's sovereign will was automatic in the earth, why would Jesus instruct us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven? It wouldn't make any sense. What would be the point of praying that if it automatically happens in the earth that his will is done? But when we understand that Jesus has given us authority to use his power on the earth, I'm not even sure that it's him allowing it. Maybe it's us that's allowing it, because we are not cooperating with him. We are not submitting to him and resisting the devil. We are not using our God-given authority. It's just a thought. As I was putting this together, I started to think that. You know, maybe we're blaming God for things that aren't his fault. When man sinned, he handed over the authority to rule the earth to the devil. None of this came as a surprise to God. He already had a plan to redeem mankind even before Adam and Eve sinned. In fact, even before the foundation of the earth. When man chose to disobey God and not do his will on the earth, everyone from that moment on was born with a sinful nature. And it would require a sinless man to defeat sin and death and to take back the authority from Satan. but there was no sinless man on the earth. That's why God had to become a man. The man Christ Jesus was God in the flesh, and the man Christ Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus had authority as a man on the earth to use the Father's power. He chose to always do the Father's will. So why couldn't all of this be done from heaven? Two scriptures that might at first sound like they're contradicting one another is Psalm 24, verse 1, and then Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein." The next verse says, "But the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." So one verse is saying the earth is the Lord's, and then Psalm 115 verse 16 says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." Well, it's simple. God is the creator, the owner of the earth. If you like, he's got the title deeds. It belongs to him. Everything in it belongs to him. But we are the site managers, if you like. You see, he's given to us the earth. He's given us authority to rule on the earth on his behalf. And he will never go back on his word. The only time that God has ever intervened, and this was under the old covenant, was to bring judgment, to stop mankind from completely destroying themselves with sin. Jesus, the living word, became a man, and his purpose for coming to the earth was to reconcile man to God. Sin was the great barrier, so he destroyed all of the power of sin. And he took away that barrier. He did away with that. He has made a way that can never be closed up again, and it's open to all who will receive him. In John 1:14, it talks about the Word becoming flesh, and the Word is Jesus. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, as a perfect man, went to the cross and paid in full for us to be free from our sin. And he took back what Satan had stolen. That's why he didn't do it from heaven. He had to become a man and take back what man had lost. That's why Jesus became flesh. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he redeemed mankind from the slave market of sin. And he reconciled us to God. Forgiveness and salvation is offered to all who choose to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's God's sovereign will that no one, absolutely no one, perishes, but that all come to repentance. But you know, every day people are going to a lost eternity because they choose not to receive him as their saviour. They choose to reject God. They choose to turn their back on God. And his sovereign will is not done. Because he wills that no one perishes. But we know that people do perish because not all people accept Jesus as their saviour. It's not God's will that anyone goes to hell. That's not what he wants. It's the choice lies with man. If it was up to God, every single one of us would be in heaven. Every single one, every single person born would be in heaven. But it's our choice. We each of us have to make that choice to accept or reject Jesus as our Saviour. He is now given this authority to rule back to the redeemed. That is to all who believe and receive his salvation, the church, me and you. He is the head of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. God still works through the body of Christ, but not his physical flesh body that he had when he walked along on the earth. That is now glorified and seated at the right hand of the Father. But God has still prepared a body on the earth for Jesus. And that, he is the head of that body. And that body has got many, many members. Johnny was talking about this morning. That body is universal. The body of Christ. And Christ is the head. And we, as the body of Christ, are here to continue the work of Jesus in cooperation with Jesus, not independent of Jesus, not sitting there on our blessed assurance and letting him do it all or letting somebody else do it all. All of us has a part to play in this. The body needs the head. This is what Johnny said this morning. The body needs the head, and the head has sovereignly chosen to need the body and work together as one body, the head and the body together. The head will never say to the body, I don't need you. And we as the church, the body of Christ, can't ever say to the head, we don't need you. We certainly do need Jesus. Christ now lives by his Holy Spirit in every member of his body worldwide. He is not limited to one body of flesh. He has a body of many members from every tribe and tongue and nation. And we are called to let Jesus live in us and through us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus said, it's beneficial that I go away and send the Holy Spirit to you. Because now we can continue all over the world with Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit. His body is moving and doing the works of Jesus in every country, and thousands are coming to Christ, and the body is growing and growing and growing, and miracles are taking place that are not ever shown on the 6 o'clock news. And if we could see the body of Christ at work every single day, we would see Jesus. We'd see Jesus at work, because he is at work in the earth today through his body. Using the authority that Jesus gave us to see his will accomplished on the earth, by his power at work in us and through us, by the Holy Spirit, we will do the works of Jesus. But it's not really us that's doing the works, it's Christ in us doing the works. He said, he will do the works that I do, you will do also. But then as you read on, you can see that it's him in us that's doing the work. Because we haven't got any power in us of ourselves to go and say, I heal the sick. We don't do it in our own name. We don't do it in our own power. His is the power behind us. We preach the word and he confirms the word with signs and wonders following. So it's Christ working through his church, but he needs your hands, he needs your feet, he needs you to speak. And so that is how he has chosen to work on the earth. I'm totally lost here, where I'm going, but never mind. So this is something that I mentioned last week when I was speaking. And it was Matthew 16, verse 13 to 19. And it was when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus will build the church, but he doesn't do it without his body. And we certainly should never try to build the church without him, the head. The church that he builds, the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. Gates in the Bible symbolize a position of authority. So when the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:23, when it says in there, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land," those who sat in the gates of the city held a position of authority. They would allow what would come into the city and what would go out of the city. And God said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, but it is the church that he builds that will prevail. We are the ones that will prevail. We are the ones with authority. The enemy has no authority over any believer. It's the other way around. And Satan knows it. But he'll lie to you. He'll lie to you, and he will get you to believe. If he can get you to believe the lie, then he'll just run all over you, trample all over you. But we, if we know the truth, it sets us free. We are the ones with the authority over him. Jesus has given us the keys of the kingdom. We can lock and unlock. We have the keys. We can bind and loose on the earth anything the enemy schemes to do. And heaven will back us up. We have authority. All the power belongs to God, to God alone. And all the authority belongs to him. But he has chosen to give, to delegate to us authority on the earth. And without him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. We must accept that we have a part to play. God's will does not automatically happen on the earth. Don't confuse and abuse the sovereignty of God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is the supreme God, independent of all. But the sovereign God has delegated, chosen to delegate authority to us on the earth as his body. He has chosen to work through the body of Christ, to touch the earth, to reach the hurting people. He's chosen. Could he have done it all on his own? You can be absolutely certain. Yes. But he has sovereignly chosen to use us. What a privilege. What an honor and a privilege that God, Almighty God, would choose to indwell us and give us authority on earth to do his will, what he wants. He will not go back on what he has decreed. He's given us the keys. He won't go back on that. I said last week, he never violates his word. Psalm 127, verse 1. This is a verse that is talking about laboring and prospering with the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. He builds the house, we are laborers. But you ask any laborer in a builder's yard, do they build? Are they physically involved in the building? They say, of course we are. Of course we are. But he builds the house, we labor, we build with him under his instruction and under his authority. But without the Lord, we labor in vain. We can try and build, but we labor in vain. It's a partnership. We cannot without him. He will not without us. He keeps the town, he keeps the city. But in the Old Testament, God was always looking for an intercessor. God had the power to keep the city, but he used the intercessor to pray and unleash his power on the earth. That was what that was about. Now Jesus is our intercessor, but we still have a part to play. The law of the land has power to deal with lawbreakers. We understand that, don't we? The law of this land has power to deal with lawbreakers. The law of this land, if you break it, it can put you in prison, but not without a law enforcement officer. It needs arms and legs. It needs someone to go out there and to enforce the law. Policemen. Policemen enforce the law. They have the authority to do that. They would have no power if there was no law backing them up. They'd have no authority if there was no law backing them up. The law's power backs them up. And so they can stand and stop a huge truck in its tracks simply by holding up one hand. And what they're doing is saying, stop, in the name of the law. Jesus has won the victory on the cross. His power has destroyed the enemy's power. But until Jesus returns, we, his body, are the victory enforcement officers, if you like. We are the ones that enforce the victory that Christ has won for us on the cross. We can take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus. Don't let the enemy trample you underfoot. He's under your feet. Power will not work without authority. Releasing it. Power will not work without authority releasing it. And authority means nothing if there is no power backing it up. But God backs up his will. He backs up his word because his word is his will. He will back up what he says. And we have authority in his name to do what he wants us to do on this earth. We need God desperately. And he has sovereignly chosen to need us. He has chosen to give us the keys of the kingdom. And once he has given us the keys, he doesn't keep taking them back, even though the keys are his. Philip is a site manager of a school, a caretaker. Now, he has a great big bunch of keys that opens every single door in that school. But he doesn't own the school. He can't walk around saying, I've got the key, so therefore I've got the power to do whatever I want in this building. It's not his. He's a site manager. He's been given the keys. He's been given the authority to be in that building and to open the doors and close the doors. He stops the thieves from breaking in and killing and destroying and spoiling the school by locking the school up and alarming the school. And then he has authority to go in and open the doors so that the teachers and the other staff and the children can come and go freely. The earth is the sovereign Lord's, but he has given us authority on the earth as his representatives on the earth. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. His authority on the earth has been given to the believer. And if we will use it in his name for his glory, his power will back us up every single time. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. God has the power to change anything on earth today. No devil in hell can stand against his power. But we must cooperate with the head of the church and use the authority that he has given us. And this verse I'm closing with. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word to us. And Lord, there's been much said. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will ask the question, is there authority that I'm not using? Is there authority that you have given to me as a believer that I'm not using the way that you want me to use it? Lord, help us to delve into your word. Help us to look and to see and to understand. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and you are with us always to help us, to bring revelation and to guide us, to help us to grow in the knowledge of you, and to help us to grow in our God-given authority. Lord, I pray and thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and you have seated us in a position with you in heavenly places to rule and reign with you. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that it's not in the distant future when we're all in heaven. But Lord, it's right here on the earth. You have told us to do, to carry on what you have begun, not on our own, but with you, the head, moving as one body with the head, submitted to you and resisting the enemy. And we thank you this day, Lord, for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen.